This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Today, two more candidates seeking state house seats in Southwest Michigan. Coming up, Green Party candidate John LaPietra, who is running in the 63rd District, which includes parts of Kalamazoo and Calhoun counties. But first, Jim Hosma came within just over 200 votes of being elected to the state house 2 years ago. The Democrat is running again in the 62nd District that includes the cities of Battle Creek, Springfield, and Albion, as well as Albion, Bedford, Clarence, Convis, Lee, Penfield, and Sheridan Townships. Jim Hosma, thank you very much for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for the invitation, Gordon.
So if you were to be elected this time, what would you want to do if you got 2 years in the state house representing the city of Battle Creek and the surrounding area?
First, I'd be hopeful that I would be in the majority and that I could accomplish many of the things that we advocate that we're due if elected. I'd like to focus on bringing back infrastructure. We've had problems not just with roads and bridges, but with water infrastructure. We have challenges in broadband and infrastructure. I would prioritize infrastructure were I elected. And were a majority not elected, I would certainly, majority of Democrats not elected, I would certainly work across the aisle to try to accomplish infrastructure changes with any Republican majority with which I'd be working. Want to bring back good jobs to the Battle Creek and Albion communities, good jobs in terms of advanced manufacturing and renewable energy. Make certain that, two, our K-12 education is properly funded and is working better than it's working presently, better than it's been working the last 8 years. Want to prioritize higher education, make it more affordable for more students in relation to our Michigan public universities, and want to maintain the Medicaid opportunities that many of my clients from my law practice work have been advantaged from receiving since the 2004 Medicaid expansion.
So let's start by going through some of those priorities there. You mentioned that infrastructure includes not just roads. There's also water, and then there's broadband. So if the state's going to do all of that, improve its roads, make sure that people have safe drinking water through infrastructure, and also expand broadband, how big of an investment is that, and where would you get the money?
Let me talk about water infrastructure firstly in relation to a sub-response to your question. We have a PFAS crisis in the Parchment area in the Springfield-Battle Creek area presently. The estimate presently is there are probably over 10,000 PFAS-infected wells around the state of Michigan. One of the things I would want to do is make sure that we look right away at strengthening how our water supply is measured in relation to how much PFAS we're going to be allowed. So instead of 70 parts per trillion, I'd try to focus on probably a tenth of that, 7 parts per trillion in relation to what we can do. I'd like to encourage an attorney general to work at suing some of the actors who have put these chemicals in our water supply, like 3M. I believe that Governor Snyder has encouraged the current attorney general to sue 3M, and he has elected not to do so. Try to ensure that we look at ways like increasing tipping fees. There's a Senate bill presently which would increase tipping fees at garbage landfills. As you probably know, there have been for many years, because of the very low tipping fees in Michigan compared to other Midwest states and compared to Canada, many out of state and even out of country in relation to Canada, garbage dumps into our Michigan, including Convis Township, which is part of the 62nd District. I'd like to increase tipping fees so we can make sure that some of that possibly would be used as a way to fund measurement of PFAS and how we can remediate PFAS as quickly as possible. This has become a real significant issue when I meet voters compared to the outset of the campaign back in the spring. Then it was mostly about roads and bridges. Certainly, I think that Governor candidate Whitmer has expressed an infrastructure bank strategy by which the state would fund some local infrastructure banks to benefit some local roads improvements. I think that my experience on the Calhoun County Board demonstrated to me the importance of collaboration with other local governments like Jackson County, and I'd like to do things more smartly like we were able to do in Calhoun County in terms of actually bringing the Calhoun Road Commission under the umbrella of the Board of Commissioners and becoming a road department, and then working collaboratively with Jackson County to bring more efficiencies.
You mentioned wanting to bring good jobs to this district, advanced manufacturing, renewable energy. What's the plan for that? What makes the 62nd district or any part in Michigan attractive to companies that are in that business?
I think first you got to have the bones for attracting those kinds of jobs. And I think we do in the Albion Industrial Park and in the Fort Custer Industrial Park.
When you say bones, do you mean like buildings and infrastructure and that sort of thing?
I mean infrastructure specifically and shovel-ready sites on which to build. We also need to make certain we have a ready-to-perform workforce, state-of-the-art workforce that is well-educated and can bring skills training right to the job immediately. And additionally to that, beyond a workforce, we need to have infrastructure, and that means roads and bridges. It's very unattractive to potential employers to bring a factory to a community where the roads are crumbling, where the bridges are decommissioned for a period of time until some bridge repair can be done or a bridge replaced.
You mentioned education. The State House, or a State House committee rather, was recently debating how much student test scores should factor into evaluations. How do you truly evaluate who is doing a good job at the school level, at the district level? There's a lot of complaints that there's too much testing, but if we're not going to rely as much on standardized testing, what do we do? How do we figure out who's doing it right, and maybe who can be a model for other districts?
In Michigan, we keep trying different testing modalities. MSTEP is the current testing modality. I should highlight that the MSTEP scores released in August 2018 demonstrated another diminution in public education MSTEP scoring in relation to the year before. I think it's demonstrated how difficult it is to do qualitative measurements by these tests, but forthrightly, I think it's difficult to assess how high a quality of education students are attaining without some such measurements. I think that we need to value our teachers in our K-12 education, allow them to teach, but there do have to be measurements like in K-STEP, which need to be part of that so we can indeed have dashboards, as the expression is presently, in terms of how districts are doing, what improvements they're making. I think in relation to how we can ensure that this trend of the past 7 or 8 years is reversed, is invest more significantly in early childhood education so that children are ready for kindergarten and elementary grades when they arrive in elementary school. And I think that in elementary schools, there probably is a need for more wraparound programming. So probably a fortification of social workers, school nurses, other parapro professionals beyond the educators. I think we also have to prioritize a diminution in class sizes so that teachers can teach and not just try to ensure that a room isn't unruly. Again, I'm a lawyer. I represent teachers and parapros and workers' disability compensation disputes. I know well the challenges that are faced by educators in our classrooms in Battle Creek and in Albion.
Do you think a new Line 5 through the Straits of Mackinac with a new tunnel built to house it is the best solution for continuing to or for the energy needs or for the concerns about the pipeline in the Straits of Mackinac?
No. I think that the anchor strike that we had as recently as early April 2018 is an indication of just how significant a risk this is. Being from Battle Creek and with my law office on the Kalamazoo River, right where there was all kinds of Enbridge oil spill related mediation from summer 2010 all the way through this summer, and probably will be for the rest of my life, it gives me, as it does other people from downriver in Marshall and Battle Creek areas, and for that matter, Galesburg, Augusta areas, it gives us a unique position to say, that's a risky initiative to undertake because we've seen that. I think it is unfortunate that this is something that was done in the last months of the Snyder administration. I think that if this tunnel were built, it's going to be another 10 or so years before it's up and operational. And we have this great risk of that which could have taken place with this anchor strike as recently as April 2018, having the possibility of occurring anytime between now and 10 years' time out. And I think that that is too great a risk. I think just burying that in a tunnel is still a risky proposition in relation to Line 5.
Should the governor and the legislature be subject to the Freedom of Information Act?
Yes. Without hesitation, that should be extended to the governor and the legislators as well. I think we need sunshine and we need public scrutiny in relation to what is being done at the executive as well as the legislative branches of government.
So Democrats look at this state House seat as one that they are hoping to use to take control of the state House and get the majority. But President Trump did pretty well in Calhoun County in 2016. Have things changed that much in the last 2 years?
I don't know. That is to say, I don't know all the variables that brought about the 2016 outcome. President Trump did better in the 63rd component of Calhoun County than he did in the 62nd component of Calhoun County. I think that at this point, given a lot of that which has been roiling in Washington and how it's impacted in terms of uncertainty, and you can examine the markets and the volatility of the markets over the past several days and for that matter the past several weeks to determine how people process that uncertainty, I think that there is an attitude that we need some Democratic legislators in place in state houses as well as congressional offices to act as a thermostat circuit breaker to some of that kind of uncertainty. I think that Calhoun County has many of the same challenges it had in 2016. I think that our county, in terms of our talk about Battle Creek specifically, jobs and some of our lifestyle isn't as good, in my opinion, as it was 15 and 25 years ago. We need to do a better job of, by appropriations, bringing back more resources to Battle Creek and Albion on the east side of the district and making Battle Creek and Albion lively places to live and places in which business wants to transfer or start up its companies.
Jim Hodsma is the Democratic candidate for State House in the 62nd District. That includes the cities of Battle Creek, Albion, and Springfield, as well as Albion, Bedford, Clarence, Convis, Lee, Penfield, and Sheridan Townships. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity, Gordon.